essentially catchy, Driver's Seat by the uniquely entitled Sniff and the Tears. Ever heard of Sniff and the Tears, William Coles?
Never heard of it in my life. Are they a new beat combo band?
No, they've been around for quite some years, it would seem. Back in the day of the 1970s, I believe. And that was Driver's Seat.
Wow.
Suitable for drive time, maybe, maybe not. It's the midweek drive on Siren FM, and it's coming round to 17 and a half minutes to 6 o'clock. Astounding how the time flies when you're waiting for Donald Trump to be the biggest bogeyman on the planet, as you've written in your latest little epically wonderful blog. But before we actually ask you to comment on your blog scenario, a writer talking about their own writing, it's astounding. Quick reminder, in the studio we have a pentagram of perfection. We have got five superlative souls, starting off with Sam Stone, ace writer, of course, who once gave you a personalised session on air in terms of how to write fantasy novels.
Yeah, I remember it well.
Sticks and folks.
Can I have a session on how to write a bestseller?
When we figure that one out,
yeah.
It'll happen. David J. Howe, of course, as well, in Top Stuff, etc. We have the delightful, fresh from the west coast of the British Isles, Lindsay Gold.
Hi there.
Yay. Hi there.
And two newbies, William, not one, but two, from the delights of Essex, it's Kaylee Umfraville.
Hi.
And from the even more delights of Brighton, it's Holly McGrattan.
Hello.
Excellent. So why did you describe them as a pentagram? Pentagrams always makes me think of witches.
Yes, you've read Sam's books. five-pointed triangle, five individuals, five aspects of the star. Otherwise, if one included yourself as well, we were into hexagons, then we're into septagons, and it's all very confusing, really. Then we could be into nonagons, then we could be into dodecahedrons, which, of course, is what we had before Christmas. But let's not go geometric on the whole system.
Was that when you had the whole choir in?
Yes.
I remember it well. They serenaded me.
Exactly. It was an important part of our whole culture. In fact, the images are still on Facebook. Did you actually look at them, Lindsay? Did you see the?
No, I didn't see any of this.
You just don't care anymore,
I'm
do
just
you, Lindsay?
I'm sorry.
You go off to the west coast of the country and suddenly exactly.
That's
suddenly,
it. It's the end of everything.
Do your rest of the bits to be says. Yeah, I mean, we've even changed the mastheads. So David and Sam are actually on the official masthead.
So they are.
Oh, sequence though. They didn't even really like that. Anyway, if you're interested, Southside Broadcast. Is the Facebook aspect you need to actually go to like business. Sorry, William, we've just diverted from that point of view. It's all
turned into a telling off.
Discipline, then. We
love to hear your flights of fancy. This is why we tune into the programme, so that we can go up your cerebral cul-de-sac.
Yeah. It's kind of like down your brain. Very, very scary. Almost as scary as what's going to happen in about 48 hours from now. Or is it? Is it just a case of, look, chill out, he's going to be okay. All right, so he was referred to as the devil spawn when he was a child. It's okay. All right, so he's kind of taking a line where, even the executive of China is actually seen as a free marketeer in comparison with the gentleman. After all, Bill, we're first in the queue.
We're first in the queue, exactly. I was trying to describe a story I was writing. I was saying, on Friday, 5 o'clock, the Western world is going to be like a living example of Munch's The Scream.
This, of course, coming from the gentleman who, let's face it, 2016 was not a good year for your electoral predictions, was it, William, all things considered?
Yes, I'm afraid my punditry took a bit of a knock. I took a hammering predicting it. I called Hillary. I lost money on it too. But I bounced back and I'm ready to give you yet more punditry predictions if you'd like them.
Right. Would you like to have a listen to Lindsay Gold singing Silver? And then you can actually say how this is going to be a must sort of purchase album and downloadable thing in 2017.
Yep, I'd love to. Can't think of anything I'd like more.
Jane, Jane.
drips down her face. I'm not equipped to show pain. Fled together to the slums below. We have nowhere to go. She can't see I lack a soul.
Just Donald Trump. Anyway, Bill Coles, what did you make of Lindsay Cole there? We didn't ask her to sing live in the studio. She did on her first gig, but you know, not today. We thought we'd play one of her fine tunes. What did you make of it, sir?
No, that was fantastic. It's not silver, it's solid gold.
Yay! Oh, thank you.
There you go. Gold from gold, quite literally. Excellent stuff on that sort of basis. So, any questions you'd like to put to the team then, Bill, about you know, life, the universe, anything? You know, you got a couple of minutes. Go for it. You know,
who's got the best New Year's, most eye-watering New Year's resolution?
Okay. Kaylee, New Year's resolution, thoughts from yourself? To wear more
time. It's got to be good. It's got to be eye-watering. It's fine, too.
I don't know. I don't normally set any.
Don't know from Kaylee. Holly?
No, I didn't either.
None of what?
Sorry.
It's the youth of today. This is why we get Brexit and Trump. David J. Howe?
I had a resolution to keep my weight at exactly the same as it actually is by not dieting.
Consistency.
And just maintaining my current state of intake.
Okay. Sam?
All right, can the next person please make it up and make up a good one?
I did just make it up. What are you talking about?
I had a resolution not to give up drinking.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going well
good.
So far.
It's going well. Yeah, it's
okay.
Going well.
Okay, and Lindsay?
Well, I'm not making this up. My resolution was to eat as much food as I want, 2 portion mashed potato, whatever, go for it, and pet as many cats as I can.
But not at the same time.
Why not at the same time, you know?
Okay,
go big or go home.
And there you have it, Bill. So, you know, go big.
Okay, wonderful. What about you, Alex? What's your resolution?
You must have
a good one.
Just to seek world peace and happiness.
While wearing a bikini.
That's the toast from Groundhog Day, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's nothing original. They just go round and round.
What about you, Bill? What was yours?
I'm in training for the Mongol Derby. It's the world's longest horse race, 500 miles in Outer Mongolia.
Which is, of course, true. So would you like to share with us why you decided to actually... Is it a midlife crisis, or is it just a case of, no, it's what we do...
It's a perpetual midlife crisis. It started when I was about 20, yes. You get two horses a day, and you're riding 50 miles a day for about 10 days. And you will be a bit saddle sore at the end of it. And you have to be quite light, because with your saddle as well, you can only weigh 80 kilos. So I might have to chop off one leg, or perhaps even two.
Drastic, but effective. In terms of the overall piece, when is this likely to take place, William?
August.
Oh, right.
And how do you train for that?
You can't just be a good horseman or horsewoman. Last winter was a woman. You've got to train on a lot of different horses, because the horses that you're riding on are pretty wild. And so the woman who won it last year, she went off to Texas to a ranch, and she was riding, sort of five different horses a day. And that's what you need. And a lot of money as well for the entry fee. It's quite expensive to get into.
And
Mongol Derby.
Well, so why isn't this on television? Why aren't you being sponsored by BBC or Sky or something for an insightful series of your training, and then the eventual trip out to Mongolia, and then the Derby, and then your triumphant win at the end of it?
I think if I were a sort of male model like Ben Fogel, I might have a chance. But I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, if Carl Pilkington can do it.
I think that radio is more my thing.
You've got a face for radio.
Steady.
Exactly.
The Mongol Derby, the longest and toughest horse race in the world, the 1,000-kilometre course, recreates Chinggis Khan's legendary empire-busting postal system. Riders change horses every 40 kilometres and stay with the local herders or camp under the stars. So you see, when you graduate, Holly and Kaylee, this is clearly something you should be following through on. You know, it's the Mongol
clearly.
Derby.
Yeah, yes. Something I always wanted to do.
Lindsay could write a song for you, I'm sure. You know, put something together on the basis of the Mongol Derby.
Get a theme tune, yeah.
And competing is an achievement that few can actually boast from my point of view.
So you're going to write a book on this when you've done?
Of course I am. Yeah, how could you not? I mean, nobody's even heard of the Mongol Derby, let alone done it. Yeah, it'd be a great story. Or I could just make it up.
And there we sit. There we have it.
You could, but we'd expect photographs, you see.
There's a lot you can do with CGI these days. Mm. A lot. Mm. We will be trying to see if we can speak to William Coles' namesake, William Sitwell, who's currently in the States. We're currently aghast with the views of the Mongol Derby. It actually doesn't look too... I mean, you've got 1,000 semi-wild Mongolian horses. So, I mean, have you taken a group of media students at the University of Lincoln these days? Only kidding.
So semi-feral.
Exactly. 1,000 kilometres to actually work through. It seems like the key thing to work through. The Mongol Derby will be happening in 2017. Lindsay, would you like to put those last two questions to William Coles, please?
Yes. Did you have a good time with us today?
Good time.
A good time. That's a new way of phrasing it. I've had a fantastic time. I always have a great time with you.
And will you be returning to us again?
Just as soon as Alec asks me over, I will come over. I might even come down to Lincoln. What about that?
I could be part of the Pentagon. Ride down. Ride down on one of these horses.
And we'll probably travel up to Edinburgh. So it'll be wonderful. You know, we'll work through that. It's just, quite frankly, amazing.
The early morning rain, with a dollar in my head, with an aching in my heart, in my pockets full of sand. I'm a long way from home. Lord, I miss my loved ones so. In the early morning rain, no place to go. Out on the runway number 9, Dick 707 said to go. And I'm stuck here in the grass, with a pain that ever grows. Now the liquor tasted good, and the women all were fast. There she goes, my friend. She'll be rolling down at last. Hear the mighty engines roar, see the silver wing on high. She's away in westward bow, far above the clouds she'll fly. Where the morning rain don't fall and the sun always shines, she'll be flying over my home in about 3 hours' time. This old airport's got me down, it's no earthly good to me, I'm stuck here on the ground, as cold and drunk as I can be. You can't jump a jet plane like you can a freight train, so I'd best be on my way in the early morning rain. You can't jump a jet plane like you can a freight train, so I best be on my way in the early morning rain.
The more violent the pleasures, the more violent the delightful ends. Or some such stuff, as Anthony Hopkins might say. Or maybe not, when we're dealing with another possible contract for Telos Publications and so on. Or is it Alan Stevens and Professor Fiona Moore to talk about Westworld? What say you, Alan Stevens?
Well, I'm saying it's not Fiona Moore, because she's in Oxford at the moment at some event.
Well, then it's just you. That's OK. We know. We can cope with that. As long as we actually say in the studio, Sam Stone, David J. Howe, Lindsay Gold, Kayleigh Umfraville and Holly McGrattan.
Hi, Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Hiya.
So I was singing the praises when I was privileged to be invited to have an after-show meal back in December with the Stones and their friends on the Stone Tapes. I just pressed the button. And I know you were saying, what's your favourite thing of 2016 TV-wise? And I said, Westworld. Very good indeed. And as you're well aware, Alan, we've been threatening to talk about this for quite some time, but have been putting it off. We had Dr. Mysterio, we had Class.
From the Sky News Centre.
We had all sorts of things as well.
The Sky News Centre.
Exactly. It was just quite astounding. But in terms of the whole sort of sequence, Westworld, Alan, is it simply a case of it's consciousness, it's Battlestar Galactica post 2003, it's got everything, or did you prefer Yul Brynner in the original movie?
Difficult one, because really the person you should be speaking to is Fiona, Fiona on this, because she liked it a lot more than I did. I thought it was very well produced, but I don't know, I kind of thought it was going over ground I'd, seen before, really. I did like the original Yul Brynner film, and, you know, it's a good series, I think it's, I don't know, I mean, so David Howe's there, is he?
Yes, you've changed the topic there expertly.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
it's
up the whole thing. So David Howe's there, isn't he?
I am, hi. No, that's interesting you said that, Alan, because I actually felt, from the sound of it, similar to you, and Sam really liked it.
I loved it. Right. David doesn't like things that are a slow burn, and he did feel that some of it was a slow burn. I thought that, to me, was what made it so interesting. You don't have to give it all away right away.
And I think for me as well... It's a difficult one, Alan. You mentioned the Yul Brynner film there, which is a great film. I'd not seen that for years and years and years, and we watched it not so long back, maybe 6 months or so back, before we saw Westworld, etc., etc. We watched the film. Now, what I find intriguing is that it's called Westworld. Now, obviously, the Western world is in the film just one of the environments.
Yeah, medieval world. And
you can have medieval world and presumably sci-fi world and future world or whatever. But obviously the West world bit was the predominant one, which is where Yul Brynner's gunslinger character came from.
Yeah.
And yet the TV series seemed to, until you got to you know, virtually the last episode, it was pretty much totally the Western world. And there's me, I don't like Westerns. So I actually found a lot of it quite tedious.
But, David, every science fiction movie is Western-oriented.
They don't ride horses and go yee-haw and have guns.
Well, I think David's making a very good point here. I mean, yeah, I think towards the end there was an implication that there was sort of like a Japanese samurai world, wasn't there? But we hadn't had any indication of anything else bar Western up to that point. I'm right there, aren't I?
Yes, you're pretty much right, yeah.
Yeah. Now, concerning Westerns, I don't mind Westerns, but one of the things that they were, within the framework of the show was, or the facsimile of the Wild West they were doing, was that there were various narratives they were putting in place, the characters, which were meant to reflect certain things, that people would have seen on the screen. So there was a kind of a Wild Bunch style situation, and there was various cowboy films. Storylines were being put in,
but wasn't the idea, Alan, that these storylines were being put in place so that the hosts, the humans who went there, could follow those narrative lines?
The hosts are actually the androids.
Okay, I got it round the wrong way. Sorry, the humans that were actually going there could follow those plots and get themselves involved in those stories and those plots.
That's exactly what they were doing.
Yes,
that's right. That's absolutely true. So it had various bits of Shane and various bits of Wild Bunch and various bits of, the Magnificent Seven put in there. So the guy would go in or the woman would go in there, and they would effectively feel they were part of. So it was a Hollywoodized Western idea. So there wasn't. If you really get into a TARDIS and go back there, you would probably find, in reality, a hell of a lot of racism.
Yes.
All of which, of course, isn't in Westworld, because it is a version of it, a fiction which draws heavily from Western narratives. So on the one hand, they're being very clever in pointing this out, but on the other hand, of course, a lot of these dramas themselves do pull out narratives from various other films and saying, you might remember this, therefore you may like that. So it's kind of having its cake and eating it. It's saying, hey, look, this plot line is effectively a cross between Apocalypse Now and the Wild Bunch, and aren't we being clever? But you are also effectively giving me a storyline which is ripped from two famous films. So, on the one level you're thinking, you're being clever, but on the other level are you also being quite tedious? And I think that, if you are a Western or know a lot of Western films, then you're going to see these ideas recycled, and therefore, and not a lot of spin on that. And if you're not a fan of Westerns, then you're just going to say, well, I've seen all this before, or this is the exact reason why I don't watch Westerns.
Well,
that was exactly
it for me, Alan, and it wasn't science fiction enough.
But it's got Evan Rachel Wood.
It's got
Anthony Hopkins.
Yes, yes. Well, I say anything
with Andy Newton.
Anything with Anthony Hopkins in immediately is lifted up, because he is so good, and he provides like a bar that's probably so high that virtually no other actor in it could possibly even reach it. He certainly raised it up. He was very, very watchable. I just didn't think it was science fiction enough.
At least he didn't take his clothes off. At least the majority of other actors didn't.
But I just felt that I was watching a Western. I didn't feel like I was watching a science fiction show about robots and about different worlds and about what was going on there.
And another thing was, the thing is that what you have is, I don't know, how many episodes was it? Was it eight?
No, it's more than that, ten.
Ten in the first season, another ten coming up, but we won't see them until 2018. And another
thing you have is, I think there is a great story there, and probably a great film there, but by having it as a series, I think sometimes you have storylines that are stretched over a whole series of episodes. And I think what often you find again is you get a very strong first season, and then when the show is picked up, you get a second season which is treading water, and I kind of feel that you might end up with that again. If they said this is a finite series of 7 or 10 episodes, then and they put it all in there, then you get that sort of that burst, and you watch it and you think, I learned something from that. But if it's stretched out, you think, God, when's this going to end? Sorry, go on.
I think it had one of the best opening credits I've ever seen.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, excellent. Yeah, excellent.
And that was science fiction enough for me, to be honest.
Exactly. Let's turn to Holly. I mean, does this appeal to your good self? Is it something which you think, I'll check that one out? Are you a binge watcher when it comes to series and so on?
No, I actually haven't seen it, but I haven't had anyone come up to me either and say, you must watch it. Okay. I don't really like
Game of Thrones, did you follow that?
I tried, didn't get into it, but I'm not really a fan of the binge culture. I just think it kind of, you know, you ruin it and you don't really pay attention to it. But,
okay, just to get through it really is enough.
I have heard people say, you know, I just have to watch it to finish it, not to like actually...
I love the days, and that's going back to when I was, you know, probably Dave and I were a similar vintage. I love the days when you used to watch a TV show, and although there might be a sort of continuing narrative arc across those episodes, you could watch an episode, and there would be a self-contained story in there to enjoy.
Whereas
nowadays you get something comes up, and it's like a soap opera, you know.
That's true.
Yeah, it continues, and you watch the next episode, and eventually you think back and you say, you know, all the episodes blend in together.
Yeah, so what's actually happened?
Yeah.
What is the new style of writing, Murray? I just think episodic.
We're in a golden age of television, Sam.
Lindsay, one thing
you've written about robots, you've sung about robots. Does Westworld Float Your Boat, which is about robots?
Sorry to disappoint you, I've not actually seen it yet.
There we are, a treat is in store. And I was reminded by John Hudson, one of our colleagues from media, that there was also a TV series, a short-lived one actually, in the 70s as well, which was also Westworld. So two movies, Westworld, Future World, and a short-lived TV series as well.
What's the second Westworld film called?
Future World.
Yeah, it was terrible, wasn't it?
Peter Fonda. And indeed, Gwyneth Paltrow's mum, Blythe Danner.
Oh, really?
She did that.
It wasn't very good, that I recall.
No, I've been tempted to buy it again. Unwatchable.
Oh, come now.
Alan says it's unwatchable.
But I will say this, that there's a series called Humans, again, which basically goes along the same sort of grain.
And Humans 2.0.
And the first season of that, I thought, was excellent. Yes. The second season, Fiona actually stopped watching after episode 3, and I plugged on in the kind of insane, well, perhaps it will get better sort of way, and it did kind of marginally get better. But Westworld was, you know, especially considering series 2, Westworld was miles ahead of that.
I mean, for me, the film Westworld, the best part of that film is where Yul Brynner goes mental and goes stalking the guy through all the different scenarios and worlds they've set up. And almost all of that film is set up so that you know that this Yul Brynner robot is going to go mental and do that. Mm. When did that happen in the TV series?
It just didn't.
I beg to differ. It happened with the Evan Rachel Wood character when she went through that whole process, and indeed, you know, did a lot of sort of shooting up, really.
She did.
Right at the end? She didn't go mentalist. It was because she was trying to make sense of her life as a robot,
and that
kind of thing,
exactly,
and all of these memories and things and stuff. I don't know.
I think it was all ambiguous with Yul Brynner. It was never explained why he went off on one.
Well, it was probably time for the King and I to actually step into getting to know new policies and the difference.
He probably thought, well, I'm the guy with the black hat, so why aren't I actually doing no killing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
After all,
he then decided to do that. I mean, one thing I never quite understood was in the new series is that you shoot a robot and the bullet and it dies.
Yes.
And it shoots you, and you seem to have like a puff or whatever on your suit, or you could even be knocked down, but not killed. How can a bullet? How did that work?
The same way we can listen to you now, Alan. Magic. Okay? It's 21st century magic.
That's a bit of a dodge, though, isn't it?
Do you think so?
I kind of thought it was maybe that the guns were kind of programmed that they wouldn't shoot when they were pointed at humans.
David, it's a TV series.
A good point, though. Then perhaps there's some... I mean, you could rationalise it that there was actually... built into these people was a kind of, no, they found a bullet in her, didn't they? The prostitute lady, she had a bullet in her hip, so there was a bullet in, I don't know.
We prefer the term saloon girl, but if you wish to use the more explicit scenario, feel free to do so.
It's a bit like the old, you know, Stephen Moffat magic, isn't it, when Sherlock Holmes can be in a room.
It's timey-wimey kind of...
Yeah, you did enjoy Dr. Mysterio, so let's not go back.
I did, but I watched Sherlock recently, I didn't enjoy that.
And that's why very few people watch the series, even though, as Phil Leonis would say, it had probably some of the best acting that Martin Freeman has ever produced in the latest Sherlock
episode.
So
there
it just goes to show.
What was the ratings of the last episode? Do we know?
Not good. 7 to 8 million.
Not as gummy, obviously, quite reasonable. I'd settle
what
for that.
What was it normally time. Then?
I think around about 11 or 12.
That's a big drop.
Yeah, well, there you have it. I think I'm going to ask Kaylee to make her debut effectively and ask the last two questions to Alan Stevens. You've been following the delivery by Sam and by, obviously, Lindsay. Off you go, Kaylee.
Did you have a good time with us tonight?
Very good.
Yeah,
nice.
I really enjoyed it. It was fun talking to Sam and...
That's why I'm putting you both together for an event on March the 19th.
Absolutely.
After St. Patrick's
March the 19th. So mark it in your diaries.
Yeah. And?
Will you be joining us again?
Well, that's up to Alec.
Down the barrel of a gun.
You say I've been looking down the barrel of your gun. Oh, ever since we first met, when this began. Oh, I let you believe you had this hold on me. I played my part to perfection, then I threw away the key. Vibrate my brain, don't come down, stole my soul. You think I don't have a plan after all we've been through? If I'm coming now, you're coming too. You think that you're in control, you're pulling the string. Oh, but you better believe I'll never. Oh, this revenge tastes so sweet, you're gonna go down hard. Cause I've been playing the hand while you've been dealing the cards. Vibrate by brick, I'll come down. Stone by stone, I will fall. Strike that match, watch the flames take it all. You think I don't have a plan after all we've been through? If I'm gonna.
Last we spoke to the fabulous Els Bailey. She was in Nashville. Now she's back in Blighty once again. Els, just listening to Barrel of a Gun there. Welcome back to the Midweek Drive. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Superb and always wonderful listening to your dulcet tones in full force there. 2016 was fantastic. 2017 is shaping up to be even better. And in the words of the Rocket, it's safe to say that Miss Bailey is probably the best new blues prospect in the last decade. And this latest set only goes to confirm that. Yay! do like the shot of your good self in the Nashville street on your website, by the way. That's very effective.
Aww.
I think you've got the American flag there. It's the sort of thing which I think, you know, it kind of impacts on so many sort of wonderful things there. Barrel of a gun, of course. Not that you're advocating a change in the gun laws, or maybe you are. I don't know. It's just a thought.
It's nothing to do with the gun laws.
It's important that creators will actually sort of acknowledge these kind of things, because you can say, somebody might say, oh, Els is singing about a barrel of a gun, I'll go and get one. No, that's not what she's saying at all. It's a different line entirely. Introductions arise now. We have five fine folk in the studio, and none of whom have actually had the pleasure of connecting with you yourself until today. And it's very exciting because we're unveiling your latest single in a matter of seconds. Ooh. We have. I know. We have Holly McCracken.
Good evening.
Very polite, Holly, because she's from Brighton. So in Bristol,
hello.
You just say, all right, Lush. Sorry. And we have also from Essex, Kaylee Umfraville.
Hello.
There we are.
Hello.
We have a singer-songwriter who we've already heard two tunes for her own oeuvre as well, and it's a fine oeuvre indeed, Lindsay Gold.
Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, and it could be a duet forming here. Who knows? It could be a whole way forward from that point of view. We also have David J. Howe. And Sam Stone as well.
Hi.
Watch a banana.
Watch a banana is some kind of phrase that he's using, which I'm sure has got some sort of relevance, but isn't a euphemism, thank the Lord. Let's move on to the next particular aspect, which we're going to actually share, because I know the music video hasn't been in this, but on your website you have a range of wonderful music videos, which I thought, this is, we've got Wildfire, Spring 2017, this is about to be launched,
yeah.
And it looks as though you're very much getting down in the studio doing some magical stuff. In fact, we're going to use this as a kind of visual bedrock, visual backdrop, whilst we actually launch this wonderful Wildfire. So would you like to introduce this little number as we put it to the Assemble team? I've already heard it and I think it's just wonderful. Would you like to introduce Wildfire yourself, though, in whichever manner you see fit, Belle?
This is Wildfire. It's the first single from my debut album, which is also called Wildfire, and I had the privilege to record it in Blackbird Studios in Nashville with some absolutely incredible musicians, and I also am able to feature my road guitarist, Joe Wilkins, who also co-wrote the song with me. So, yeah, this is Wildfire.
Heard the people calling, heard them shout your name. Saw the fire blazing, saw them throw their blame. Well, I heard the stories, I've read them all before. Page by page, I turned them, watched you shut the door. The storm clouds, they are rolling in. Thunder has split the sky. Like a withered tree that once stood tall. I see through the lies, see through the lies. The heavens open and the sky explodes. Warm water on their burning fire. Ignore the stories, I know the truth. I can see it in your eyes, I can see it in your eyes. Like wildfire, throws mud on an unstained sheet. Unraveled, calm and done, you're branded and broken and beat up. But the storm. Totally free. Come back once more. I will piece you back together, make you better than before. Come back to me, where the lies have no stick and where you're totally free. Come back once more. I will piece you back together, make you better than before. We'll be right back.
definitely deserves a round of applause. Yay! But let's drill down a bit, shall we, Els? Let's sort of work, because we've seen the video where Chap is actually holding up the line saying, I'm an Els fan. We're all Els fans. It's very important from that point of view. Let's go to Lindsay. What did you make of Els Bailey?
I loved your vocals. I thought they were flawless. I love that kind of gravel in the really, really good.
Thumbs up that. David J. Howe.
I thought... Okay, I love records, and I love guitar and drum records, where it's like the bass guitar, that the strings are so kind of slack that they're touching the floor, and you get that really nice kind of deep, earthy kind of bass, and this had that for me. I thought the guitar work was brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and in order to rise above brilliant guitar work, you have to have, you know, an astonishing good and powerful voice, and you've got it. I thought it was absolutely tremendous. It reminded me just a touch of like Suzy Quatro, kind of, okay. just a touch of that. But no, very, very lovely song. Really like that. Love the music. Love the voice. Mm. Tremendous.
I agree.
It's going well. It's a yes from David. Let's move to Holly
McGrath. That's rare.
No, I loved it. I just made me want to kind of close my eyes and just dance. I think I could dance forever to that song.
Dance forever for the song. And Kaylee.
Oh, I think you have a beautiful tone of voice. I can just imagine it on like a vinyl record, just chilling out to it.
Vinyl. Very 20th century.
I thought you said a vile record.
Sometimes, Els, you know, you got the Bristol and you got the sort of the Essex, and sometimes, you know, in Essex they might like to have vile vinyl. You know, it's a different name entirely. Sam.
You're badass.
Yes.
What about her badass?
And astoundingly, tomorrow night, that will be the 19th of January, you can see Els live at the Tipsy Toad. I know. From Nashville to the Tipsy Toad, it's unbelievable. But in Matlock, Derbyshire, you're performing at the Tipsy Toad, which is exciting. But it gets even better, because we move on from that to Harrogate, the 20th of January, Leeds on the 21st, and the Great British Rock and Blues Festival at Skegness.
Boom, Butlin, here we go.
Exactly. All part of the Great British Rock and Blues Festival. 22nd of January is the event that's taking place, and you need a week to recover after that, which is why you go after Billericay after that for the new Crawdaddy Club on the 27th, followed by the Cottage, which is Wembden, I believe. Wembden, from that perspective. The Phoenix in Exeter. In fact, you are working pretty much non-stop throughout, let me see, March. More. You go to elsbailey.com for a whole range of things. All the way to, actually, we're getting to April, and you're in Germany. You've got Leverkusen, you've got Reichenbach. Ah, the Reichenbach Falls.
Reichenbach Falls.
Die Halle, in case you're one of our German friends tuned into that routine. And indeed, Emmendingen. You've got quite a tour in Germany before you're back in Brighton. Brighton. 7th of April.
There you go.
Ooh. In fact, she's at the Sticky Mike's Frog Bar.
I love Sticky Mike's.
Yay, come on down.
So, Holly, will you be making it to the Sticky Mike's Frog Bar on the 7th of April to touch base with Els Bailey?
I will definitely make that priority if I'm not...
stressed with work. It's just a different line from that point of view. And then we've got Bridgewater, Devizes. Exactly. Fantastic stuff there. Lindsay, any questions you want to put to Els about life, the universe, the combinations of Nashville versus her career so far?
How did you wind up going to Nashville?
So that was a really weird one, actually. My dad asked my mum to go on a road trip around the States with him, and my mum said no. So my dad turned around to me and said, oh, Els, do you want to... oh, hold on, let me just hang up on someone.
Always important in the midst of a live radio
Sorry
interview.
About that.
It's okay. They realise, you know, media commitments, darling, all very important. Carry on.
Anyway, so he then sort of said, Els, do you want to come? And I was like, yeah. And then we were going to go through Nashville, so... He just made a few calls, and then suddenly the road trip of the southern states never happened, and I ended up spending 6 weeks in Nashville, like, making this record. So it was a total I'd always been planning to do an album. I definitely hadn't planned to do it in Nashville, and it was basically a few like calls that my dad decided to make as we were passing through. So that's
the message.
I have to say, if I was gonna write an album anywhere, Nashville would be a great place.
Camo's always welcome to visitors, so, you know, that probably be a Nashville access and so on. Finally, Els, in terms of the overall detail, who was the chap who actually, in the video, held up the I'm an Els fan?
Okay, so that's Brad, the producer.
Ah, very good, good. Because if your producer isn't a fan, you really want to change the producer. That's all I have to say. Good
exactly.
news. Good news from that point of view. Okie dokie, let's go to Holly. Would you like to put those last two questions to Els Bailey, please?
Yes, well, it's been lovely having you on air tonight. Have you enjoyed yourself?
Oh, I've absolutely loved it. Yeah, it's a pleasure, as always.
Well, good stuff there. So go, next question, critical, which is?
And we'll be hearing from you soon on the radio.
Will you be back with us on the programme, Al?
Oh.
Will you return?
Yay!
A round of applause for Els Bailey.
I'm shouting all about love. Well, they cheated you like a dog. They knew were the one who had made it so clear. All those years ago. Talking all about how. They don't act with much honesty, but you put the way to the truth when you say all you need is love. Maybe with good or bad, I always looked up to you. Now we're left cold and sad by someone, the devil's best friend, someone who abandoned.
This is the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
All those years ago, Sarah, when you were touring with New Palm Productions and the whole world was expecting the joys of the 20th century to continue forever. Well, of course it didn't, because it's the 21st century, isn't it, Sarah Huntley?
It certainly is. Certainly is.
We hadn't forgotten about your good self, nor have we forgotten about Phil Leonis, who's actually on his mobile. So apparently he may not make his back to his flat in time to answer his landline, so it's best to call him on the mobile, which we will do. It's okay. It's not like William Sitwell is going into a meeting. We'll sort our way through that. In the studio today, sir, five fine folk, three of whom are seasoned pros when it comes to the Midweek Drive. Well, I say that, but, you know, they don't know. They've got a history, shall we say. David J. Howe and Sam Stone, of course, being legends and co-presenters, of course, of the Stone Tapes.
Hi,
but,
Sarah.
Yeah, but the hello, equally hello. Wonderful Lindsay Gold is with us as well, making a welcome to. Is it Bolton, Lindsay?
No, it's Whitefield.
Whitefield. So beyond Bolton, then.
Yeah, but close.
But close, exactly.
They're building a wall.
They're
building a wall between.
Yeah,
and they're going to make Bolton pay for it.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's the plan.
It's a way forward. And two fine folk who are reading media production at the University of Lincoln because, in their own words, it's got the best reputation in the country to actually work through the whole process, whether you're coming up from Essex or Brighton. We've got Kayleigh Umfraville and Holly McGrattan.
Hello.
Oh, good.
Now,
hello.
Can you tell, Sarah, given your Lambda training and so on, whether it's Holly or Kayleigh who is from Essex or Brighton? So would you like to say a few words, Kayleigh, for instance?
I hope you had a very good week.
Now, where's Kayleigh from on that basis, though, Sarah?
Yeah. I need a bit more.
You can question her if you wish, Sarah. Take over the...
Oh, okay. So this is Kayleigh. Okay.
Kayleigh.
Kayleigh,
like Marillion.
What? Tell me about the school you went to. What school did you go to?
I went to Brentwood County High.
She was actually taught by Ed Wellman.
Yes.
I know, it's amazing.
He was
I revealed
teacher.
It now. He, Ed was.
And did you enjoy your school days?
I did. I loved them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's Kayleigh. And now, can I have. Who's the other person?
Holly.
Holly
McGrath.
Holly, tell me about your school.
My school was small.
Yes.
And eventually one of them actually went bankrupt, but it was quite a nice school.
Nice. So,
I'm trying to be Sherlock Holmes on this now. I mean, neither of them sound like they're from Essex. And both of them sound like they're from Brighton to me.
They're both Brighton people. Wrong. One is actually from Essex.
Although, yes, I know. I'm just saying. I haven't come to my conclusion yet. I think Holly is from Brighton.
Correct.
Yes. Ding, 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 ding.
And what was it that specifically gave the Brighton...
Not the accent at all. I did my Sherlock Holmes. There's more private schools in Brighton, and that if it went bankrupt, it's probably a private school.
I couldn't
tell it on the accent at all.
Yeah, no. There you are. It's all down to the privatisation of education. Everything's ideological. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Oh, well. So how has life been going with your good self? I mean, do you still these days do voice coaching for former famous Premiership footballers who have roles to play on British Telecom, but I can't mention their names because obviously they don't want to be made embarrassed on public by being taught by yourself. Sarah?
Yes, I still do. And I tell you, I'm very excited about this. A telecommunications company that you'll all know.
Yes.
I've been working with them, and it's all to do with helping them install something that you'll know about. Yes. So I get very excited every time I see one of these vans installing it. You'll know what I'm talking about, but I can't say what it is.
It's
communications companies are available.
It's all.
Yes, that's if they get them online. I know, I'm giving them a bad time.
It's the installation.
It's the installation, yeah. And I've also been I'm quite pleased to be in the car. I've just sat in a rather damp, cold car, but I've just been battling with, once more into the breach, dear friends, a piece from Inspector Calls. And then before that, Memory of Water. And I've sort of inspired enough, and I need inspiring myself. So I'm off to a Zumba class later this evening. But after a while, it does become a little tedious.
Well, as indeed.
I feel like Phil Nye with that. But when you say to people, do you know where you are? And they go, yes, I'm in D2. I went, no, where is Henry V? Where is he at the moment? And that's when you know it's time to go home.
Yes.
Listen, we are glad the door finds so pleasant with us. His present and his pains we thank you for. And we have matched our rackets to these balls. We shall in France, by God's grace, play a set. Shall strike his crown into the hazard. That's where he is, playing tennis.
Oh, well, there you go. Oh, yes. Very good, very good. Well, actually, we could start a whole trend, couldn't I? I could start once more, and then you could all say...
Into the breach.
Onto the breach.
Or even onto... Please, well, onto... Stop giving me prepositions, Sarah. I've told you. You know, it's as bad as a proposition on air. Please, you know, just get on... I'll pose this sort of through on that basis. I suspect Phil Linus might be at home now. We just don't know, but we'll try. We'll see what actually happens. He's a will-o'-the-wisp in his own little way. But have you got any final questions you'd like to put to the assembled quintet of quality that we've actually had in the studio
today? Oh, well,
you
sounds like a very jolly loss. I wish I was there with you. I just wanted to hand on something, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That I watched over the weekend Graham Harper's Number 9.
Inside Number 9.
Sorry, yes. What's his number 9? Inside number 9.
Yes.
Taking a whole different connotation.
I don't know what number.
And I thought his number 9.
I am. We're watching your number 9, all right? Just don't go there, please.
Can I just ask the group, have you seen Graham Harper's Number 9?
Well, I have indeed.
Number 9.
Graham Harper, top director, wonderful, fine soul, but yes, Inside Number 9.
Did they?
No. Have you seen any of the Inside Number 9 series, Holly?
No, I haven't.
No, something to sort of do. Kayleigh?
I'm sorry, I haven't.
Lindsay?
You haven't a clue?
No, not a clue.
Sam?
I haven't.
No, nor have you.
It's new to me.
Yeah. Nor have you. We saw some of the Inside Number 9s last season. Do you remember there was one about witchcraft? League of Gentlemen people.
Yes. But even more surreal.
Reese, not Reese Witherspoon.
She's an actress.
I know she is. Yes,
exactly. Shearsmith is who you're talking about.
That's the name I'm trying to conjure up, yes. Yes, we
but
saw
like,
a couple.
Oh, I'm pleased you've seen that. I thought it was fantastic. It's so subtle. It's hilarious, isn't it?
Exactly.
I just thought it was very, very good.
It was like being back in 1970s Crossroad Land, meeting the joys of Roald Dahl's Tales of the Unexpected. And he's currently working on two more. So it's all very exciting. So great stuff there.
Oh, good.
Yes, exactly. In betwixt joining us for the Telefantasy Society gig as well, where we're also talking about a whole variety of things on the 19th of
March,
2 days after St. Patrick's Day. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Sarah Huntley?
It's been lovely. It's taken me out of myself, you know. Got me both going again.
Do you know where you are, though? Yes, but where are you? Where is Sarah Huntley? Yeah. I mean, you know, this Ben Lewis is
metaphorically
still...
or actually stage managerly.
Nice. I see what we've done there. It's a whole new area to explore in terms of the Zumba class. So, will you return again?
I will, I hope, yes.
That's all right, then.
So, Holly, you were saying that La La Land, which Sam Stone didn't even realise was in existence, similarly David J. Howe, it's OK. It's why they come here to actually be educated. They're in other parts of Lincolnshire. It's important. You said it divided opinion in your household. To what extent did it divide opinion?
Well, my household is in my... students as well.
So, yeah, exactly. Students and household. I mean,
yeah. I think it's interesting. I think mainly because a lot of people don't really like musicals in films, like one or the other, or you know, you want to listen to it separately. And
so it's an issue that, as opposed to saying we really hated that opening number in the traffic jam in Los Angeles because it presupposes that Los Angeles is full of traffic jams and smog and various other things, and every week Phil Lynas comes out and say it's not like it at all, you know, there's lots of space and happiness in LA, etc. It's, you know, was it that kind of issue really?
No, I don't know. I just think it was the whole kind of breaking out into a song.
It's a song.
I think some people just don't really like that. They just want to, you know, they fast forward it.
Kaylee Umfraville.
Yes.
Did you echo that, or did you think La La Land, it's a winner?
Oh, I think I'm still a bit of a mixture. I'm on the edge of...
That's why you're heading back to Vermont? Possibly. I don't know. We don't know. It's a wonderful... How long has your mum actually been over in Essex?
20 years.
Good grief. America's changed since then. Has she been back to Vermont before?
Yes, we go every year.
There you are. See, filled in us, as you can tell. Yes. If you add the joys of new midweek drivettes, Holly McGrattan and Kaylee Umfraville, second-year media production students who have got delights such as directing The History of the Brayford amongst their credits, to David J. Howe, Sam Stone and... Lindsay Gold in the studio. I just don't know how you could have missed it. You just have to catch up on the podcast.
We will.
And thank goodness there is a podcast. I mean, that's always the best way to listen to anything, is to download it and to listen to, you know, like the things that sound like last week's news.
There you go. Exactly. And once again,
I think we've talked about this before, how I was always so surprised, you know, Dean and I doing this weekly podcast for almost a decade now. And I always thought, you know, hopefully people will listen to it the week that we release it. But then there's no reason to save these things, because who's going to want to listen to it later? And the strange thing is, you know, we're always talking about, it seems, the latest news and reviews and analysis and these sort of things from the business of show, and yet only 40% of our audience is the week that an episode drops, and people will still go back and listen to shows from 8-9 years ago. And just between you and me, Alex, we're still talking about the exact same things. They don't need to do it, but God bless them for doing so.
It's always important. Particularly impressed to hear a name check that you provided for my good self and my Dust for Dania line last week. It's very good. Very obviously acknowledging sources there. It's always splendid. So, Phil, would you like to, before we go into an investigation as to the continuing joy and wonderment of being just outside Bolton with Lindsay Gold and indeed David J. Howe and Sam Stone, would you like to have a chat with our newest midweek drivettes? That's Holly McGrattan and Kaylee Umfraville. Was it yourself who wrote to me? Well, we did do a piece on this. Holly, was it? I can't remember who sent me the email originally saying...
Holly did, yes.
You sort of connected that whole thing. So perhaps, Phil, you'd like to investigate whether the show has been all that they hoped it would be, having listened to the programme via, indeed, podcast previously.
No. What I want to know is, how does one become... a midweek drive-out? How does one become a co-presenter? What did one have to do wrong in their course of study that they get forced to do this?
Holly?
Well, we were rejected from any other radio station. So,
it's cast aside. Sometimes you just think, where are we going with this? And, you know, I beg to differ. Anyway, only 600 seconds to go, Phil. Make use of that time as you see fit.
Well, I only got one answer. I thought there were two. No, I'm serious. I seriously want to know, like, how does it come about, this opportunity to be on... a radio program?
Well, I had a good friend called Ben Lewis, and he is a presenter here, I believe, so I just asked what it was all about. He gave me Alex's contacts, and Here we are.
What's it all about? Alfie or Ben. It's either of those two things is important.
So you willingly and voluntarily threw yourselves into the delight that is the midweek drive.
I mean, why not?
I mean, I got a gun put to my head and bundled in the car before.
With a sack on your head.
Yeah, I didn't know where I was going.
Yeah, where are we going?
Well, you may or may not
see that midweek. One's good. I like that story.
That's Lindsay Goldfield.
I didn't like that story. That was really traumatic. You know, I was crying all the way. It was a mess.
It was great. I mean, for us, it's just Alex has got the photographs, you know. I mean, it's, what can you do? What can you do? Anyway.
For me, and this is true, and all, you know, this will be the one true story I'll tell, and then everything else will be lies until next week. But, of course, I get off a plane in London, and I'm going to deliver a gift to Louis Saviots, the executive director of Sci-Fi London, and he's being interviewed by Alex Lefchuk in person, and Louis grabs me and says, "This is Phil Lernes." And the next thing I know, a microphone's in my face, and all these years later, the interview is still going on.
Fantastic. That sounds about right, Phil.
That sounds brilliant.
Well, you want to be more happy that you're still welcome back to the whole thing, because there are occasionally folk that we can't ask those last two questions to, and we just have to say no. Rare, but it does happen.
That's fantastic.
Have you caught any of the programme today, Phil, or has it just been a case of, no, you've been busily in meetings with William Sitwell and others?
I've been in a meeting all morning for the Los Angeles Breakfast Club Charitable Foundation. We voted on 8 grants that we are giving out to a variety of programs, cultural programs, education programs, health and welfare programs, and homeless shelters and food programs. So that's what I've been doing with my morning. Really, it's not as important as getting to listen to the show, but occasionally I got to do my bit. But I heard a good 20-30 seconds while I thought I was on hold. You said you'd be with me in about 20 seconds. And so what I was hearing, I thought, was a pre-recorded interview with your co-presenters. So, boy, it stunned me when you suddenly spoke to me.
There you go. It's just, you know, constantly keeping us on our toes as Phil continues his search for sainthood. Let us move on to Kaylee.
For sainthood?
What? It'll happen.
My search for sainthood. What?
Before too long, the old sort of Pope will get something sorted out, have a new shine, and the canonization process will proceed. Kaylee.
Oh, we have a new Pope being inaugurated here tomorrow.
Exactly. Well, you say tomorrow, it's a little bit more than that, really. It's 40
hours. You know what we learned? This is great. Okay, really quick. I learned this. This is very exciting, that Los Angeles, in its history, in its glorious restaurant history, this is not true anymore. But there used to be, and this was very famous, there used to be restaurants here for Republicans, and there used to be restaurants here for Democrats for many decades. And one of the most famous restaurants for Republicans here, where I got to eat when I was a little kid and actually met Alfred Hitchcock, was a restaurant named Chasen's. And ironically, and I kid you not, one of the most popular restaurants for Democrats was a restaurant named Trump's.
Yay. Aww. Proving that the universe does have a sense of humour, which brings us neatly round to your little task. Kaylee, could you give me a number between 2 and 27, please?
Ooh, 25.
25.
She's got an upper end.
25. Ooh. Well, this is the Thought for the Universe for your first debut show.
I have a special request to pass on to you directly from the morning sun herself. Echoed by the clear blue sky, the earth under your feet, and the trees in your life who each long for your passing. From time to time, however sporadic or brief, they'd absolutely adore your undivided attention. I know I'd want to know, so I thought you would too. The universe. P.S. I know, you can't be everything to every tree, but you come amazingly close.
There you are, Kaylee. You see? Exactly. Even had a PS in there, especially for you, Phil. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
I would love to say, I'm sorry, universe, I didn't quite catch that. Because it's all about paying close attention. Wouldn't see what I did there?
Yeah.
See the joke?
It's sometimes pearls before swine, but life continues on its own merry little way. Lindsay, have you enjoyed your experience back on the show today?
I really have. It's been great to be back. Thank you for having me again.
We're off to do a Stone Tapes episode 21 of the Stone Tapes, I believe.
Wow, is it 21?
Yeah, 21. Which the listener will be able to actually hear not tomorrow, but a week tomorrow.
Okay.
So that will actually be the 26th of January.
Fantastic.
When that is actually released to the world.
Yes.
Like a little fledgling sort of set up for the whole world. I say fledgling, actually. I had an extraordinary experience over the weekend where I fed a sausage roll to a seagull. And they're vicious, those seagulls, aren't they, really? The way they took that sausage roll, I thought, just as well, wasn't Alfred Hitchcock around. It'd be very scary.
I have one of those moments, bird moments.
Yeah, you almost think, and the way they look at you as well.
That pigeon hover at me for my
You got to remember the active ingredient in the sausage is seagull, so you understand why they're a little bit
So that's what they put in sausage rolls.
That is what they put in sausage
mystery
rolls.
Mystery solved.
So Phil, California LA Breakfast Club,
February, want to be there.
We want to come along, and so I'm going to drop you an email.
Okay, great.
Or a Facebook message or something, and we'll try and figure out if it's on the week we're there.
We're actually over Valentine's week. We fly in on the 13th till the 20th.
So there we have it, you see.
There we have it.
Work around that.
And for everyone listening, please give the flight number so that people can stop by your seat and say hello.
Do you want to be more specific,
Sam?
Celebrating the wonderment of the human race. We are all one, as they possibly would have said in Forrest Gump. Or maybe not. Let's move to... Yeah, that's Kaylee once again. Have you ever been to Los Angeles?
I haven't, unfortunately.
Well, clearly you need to follow in the footsteps of such luminaries as Jodie Orton and indeed the fabulous Sam Stone and David J. Howe, and maybe you might get an invite to Downtown Hollywood and be able to sit in on our podcast with Phil in Los Angeles.
It's wonderful.
And his team and Dean in Australia simultaneously. It's quite amazing, particularly when they spend 20 minutes getting the sound right. It's always important. It's critical. What happened then? Had you just put a sock over your head, Dean? Probably one of the best quotes I've ever heard on a Chilpack Hollywood episode. It's great. Let's merge this week. It's my Dos Verdania moment. Okay, Phil, would you like to ask the team those last two questions, please, before they ask you the same? I know it sounds boring, but carry on. It's important. Well, customer satisfaction.
The team. Okay, team, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with me?
Why, yes, we have, Phil.
Thank you.
We've had a wonderful time.
We have, indeed.
I haven't heard from everybody.
Most definitely, Phil.
And, there we go.
And can I look forward to you all connecting with me again, or can I look forward to you looking forward to connecting with me in the future?
You can look forward to that.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to you looking forward to us looking forward to connecting with you in the future.
Because remember...
Suddenly it sounds like a George W. Bush press conference.
Wow.
Because life is like a box of chocolates. You never quite know what you're going to get. A great movie, great times. Eclectic Pulse comes up as far as Siren's concerned. Then I believe it's Word Perfect. With Chris doing all manner of poetry magic. And Citadel Central comes up as well. So that's the thing as far as Siren is concerned. We're out of here to sort of a whole range of wonderful scenarios. That's pretty much it. Just a thank you to the team who joined us telephonically. Thanks to Camo from Nashville. Thanks to Anna Lewis from Jersey, Arthur Weingarten from San Diego, William Curls from Edinburgh, Alan Stevens from... Well, yes, Staines. Els Bailey from Bristol. Sarah Huntley, of course, from Wimbledon. And Phil Leonis from Los Angeles. That's it. We're out of here. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
Bye. This is what love in Paris is. That young love, immaculate.